Hello, this is William Lever with the Toonami Squad. Here we have Clifford Chapin, voice of Connie Springer and of Attack on Titan, and also Bakugo of My Hero Academia. Mm-hmm. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being here.
No problem. Anytime.
We'll start right away. First question. Who or what inspired you to choose these careers in the anime industry?
What really inspired me, it's kind of a funny story. I had wanted to be a director since I was about 5 years old, and actually I decided that after watching Power Rangers for the first time. I remember the first episode of Power Rangers debuting after school or when I was very little. I was only about five. And I was really into it, and I kept thinking, like, I want to make stuff like this. And then as you get older, you start to learn about, like, that's Japanese, and this is how this is done, and it's adaptation process. But along the way, I'd always had an interest in cartoons, and there were some cartoons that were very important to my life, such as Beast Wars Transformers was one of them. Mm-hmm. It's a big favorite of mine still to this day. You know, and a lot of stuff like that really stuck with me. Dragon Ball Z, tons of franchises. And as I got older, I started recognizing voices from shows to show. And I would realize, like, oh, this is Gary Chalk. Gary Chalk voices Optimus Prime and Optimus Primal and all these different characters. And then, oh, and this is Scott McNeil. And Scott McNeil voiced all of these guys. And he's on Inuyasha. And Inuyasha is voiced by Richard Ian Cox. And I started realizing, like, oh, there are people doing this. And I also started realizing that when certain actors were in certain shows, then I could start to anticipate other certain actors. Mm-hmm. So I was starting to recognize that there was a regional difference. You know, I was recognizing, oh, this is the Canadian group, this is the California group, this is the Texas group. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm hearing Steve Bloom in something, then odds are I'm going to hear, like, Yuri Lowenthal. Mm-hmm. You know, those actors that are out there. And, you know, if Chris Sabat's in something, then maybe I'm going to hear Justin Cook. Mm-hmm. and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I had this really analytical process to it that as I got older, just became more and more refined. And sort of all those things kind of led to the same place, is that after I graduated from college with a film degree, I really wanted to go into voiceover because some of the film opportunities that were available to me at the time weren't great where I lived and such. I worked on a lot of reality TV, which was not super fun. Mm-hmm. So I ended up pursuing voiceover over it. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Very nice. Very, very incisive. Second question. You've been working for and or with Funimation for about 5 years now, correct?
Yeah, five and a half, yeah. Almost six, going on six.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Where do you see yourself in another five?
I have no idea. Hopefully, if anything, it's expanding into other markets. I'd like to maybe start getting to do VO for other regions a little bit here or there, such as Caitlin Glass is a good friend of mine, and she will travel around, as well as some of the other mm-hmm. Actors and directors involved with Funimation. They'll travel to other areas and get to be in some other projects. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to be doing that at some point. But, you know, right now I'm an ADR director for Funimation, and I hope to still be an ADR director for Funimation at the time. So, and maybe getting to voice some other really great characters.
Right on. So, yeah. Very good. That really bridges us into the next question. How much more involved are you when you're either ADR directing and or script writing compared to voicing?
The most involved is directing, for sure. I used to script write. I don't do it anymore because I didn't have any free time. When I did acting, writing, and directing, I had no free time. In fact, there was a period of my life where I had a day job that I would get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and then go to that for a little while, then go to Funimation and act for any show that I was in, and then from there direct until 10 o'clock at night, and then come home and script write for 2 hours and go to bed at midnight, and then get up at 6 o'clock the next morning and do it again. So for a very brief period of time, I had so little bit of a life. But ADR directing is definitely the most involved because you have to oversee the whole project, mm-hmm. and you are crafting with the actors their performances. Mm-hmm. And depending on the show, you might need to oversee the script a little bit more, such as I directed Darling in the Franxx earlier this year, one of my favorite shows, probably my favorite project that I've worked on thus far. Okay. And in every single week, because we had multiple writers on that show, mm-hmm. and I was very concerned with the content and making sure that the dialogue was true to the Japanese, because I could tell that any line that was said at any point in the show could turn out to be the most important line in the show. Every week I would also oversee the script and like revise it and make sure it was very true to the Japanese translation, so that we were getting this very authentic product from the dub. And so ADR directing absolutely has the most extensive process of the bunch.
Cool. Let's see, and then the next, how do you normally, regarding voice acting, how do you normally prepare for one of your roles?
I wish it was a little bit more involved, but it's actually pretty simple, because a lot of the times I get called in for something and I don't know what it's going to be. So there's very little preparation for me on the front end, outside of just doing like warm-ups, you know, doing scales and tongue twisters and such to try and warm up my mouth to be able to do the job. But going into it, I never know what's going to happen. Maybe in the old days I would try and watch the show ahead of time. But now with the simuldubs, there's almost no window for us to do that. I can't even watch the show ahead of time, to know what's going to happen with the show. So a lot of that just relies on the director to lead you the right way.
Wow. So you really definitely do need a well-grounded team.
That's exactly right. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. That's very nice. Let's see. Fifth question. What is one of your favorite genres in the anime, industry that you enjoy working on?
Man, my favorite genre, I really like comedy. I like working on or acting in comedy, getting to do something crazy. I'm kind of known for being a yeller, so I get cast in a lot of yelling roles, which can lend itself well to comedy sometimes for more bombastic things. I really like drama, though. To be honest, my favorite, like I said, my favorite role, my favorite project that I've worked on thus far is probably Darling in the Franxx, and that was such a heartfelt and emotional series that getting to bring that to life in English was amazing, and to work with the actors on those performances, that was an incredible experience. So I tend to really like drama, personally, because I feel like it just, comedy's great and people like it and they have a good time with it, but the stuff that really resonates with people is the stuff that comes from the heart. So I really like drama.
Okay. So, yeah. And then, let's see, we'll be going into a little My Hero Academia questions now. How is the relationship with your colleague Justin Briner, given your character rivalry?
Given the character rivalry, yeah. Justin and I, surprisingly, are pretty good friends. We get along really well. We have a lot of common interests. We joke around a ton, and it's really funny. This year, we've been to a whole bunch of conventions together. And we just kind of lean into the character rivalry a little bit. We have fun with it and joke around. But Justin and I get along really well. I've worked with him, you know, as an actor, as a director. I've worked with him. He's an immensely talented individual, and just an all around good guy. So way better than Deku and Bakugo.
Well, that's certainly great to hear.
Yeah, you would hope so. Yeah. You would hope it would be better. So yeah, everybody can rest easy.
Yes, alrighty. And then also, what has been the most challenging part of voicing Bakugo?
I feel like the most challenging part is something everybody expects, and it's how much he yells. The rage that is within Bakugo is very taxing on my voice, especially early in the show. There were very few sessions where I would walk out of the booth and not have lost my voice along the way. A lot of the screaming, especially the sports festival arc, lots and lots of screaming. Recording the movie, lots and lots of screaming. So typically that's the hardest part, honestly. And sometimes trying to exhibit Bakugo's more subtle emotions, because there's a lot of intricacies to his yelling. That sometimes when he's yelling, it's a happier yell, but he still sounds angry. So walking that line for Bakugo is typically the greater challenge. Yeah. So, okay.
And so you did say there was some differences with the movie compared to the episodic series. So can you elaborate more on those differences?
Without giving too much away, Bakugo screams a lot in that movie. I had like 2 hours of recording for that movie, and the first hour was broken up into 2 half-hour sessions, and at the end of each of them, I had lost my voice, because Bakugo's screaming at the beginning, when he first enters into the scene of the movie, is so harsh and loud, and it is full tilt Bakugo right at the beginning, and man, it was rough. I was actually kind of worried. I was like, man, I hope the whole movie's not like this, because we're never going to get through it. It's real funny, actually. As a little side tangent, a few years ago, I was at another convention where I met the seiyu for Boruto, and she is friends with the seiyu for Bakugo. And when she found out that I was Bakugo, she said to me, "How is your throat?" And I was like, "Ah, he must have similar problems with how much he has to scream." So it was pretty funny. Felt bonded in that moment. So
okay. Let's see, now let's switch gears for a minute, and how was your overall experience with the first episode of Pop Team Epic?
Pop Team Epic, it was so fleeting, because the very beginning of Pop Team Epic starts off with the sequence of Hoshiro Girl Drop, where I seem to play the main character of this non-existent anime, and it was just so funny to come in and do this thing. And I even tweeted afterwards, like, "I'm so excited to be playing the main character of Hoshiro Girl Drop." You know, and a lot of people knew that was not, like, a real thing. But some people got really excited and thought it was going to be real, and it's not. So it was real funny. And it's just such a great joke to mislead like that. And then all of a sudden in episode 11, I had to do the episode preview, because each episode preview for the next episode is about Hoshiro Girl Drop instead of Pop Team Epic. So I had to come in and do this next time on Hoshiro Girl Drop. And that was really hard, because I'm talking about all these emotional experiences and things that the character has gone through that we have not gone through. And they were very convoluted and confusing sentences. Trying to explain, like, so this is what had happened, and I learned these things, and blah, 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 blah. And they were so involved that making sense of the sentences was difficult. But it was really funny. Like, I think that was a great joke. The only thing that I think could have been funnier is if episode 11 of Pop Team Epic had really been a Hoshiro Girl Drop episode. Like, it was, like, the second to last episode of an anime that we've never seen. So, like, all the first 10 episodes were Pop Team, and then 11 was Hoshiro Girl Drop, and then 12 was Pop Team again. So you just have this one random episode of plot in the middle of a show. Like, I think that would have been hysterical. It's the only thing I think Pop Team Epic could have considered doing differently, just for another joke of, like, and then Hoshiro Girl Drop. But it was very funny. That's a very funny joke that they play.
Very nice. Let's see, when you're not working on any series, what are some of your hobbies?
Hobbies outside of working, I like gaming a lot. I just played through all 8 Mega Man X games for the new collection. I platinumed both collections.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was good. Felt good. But I like gaming a lot. That's pretty much my biggest thing. Trying to catch up on, like, movies and shows a little bit. But generally the common stuff. I like reading comics. I bring comics with me when I travel and stuff. Because when I'm on planes, that's kind of a bigger opportunity for me to read, too. So, mostly that stuff.
Okay, right on. Let's see. Oh, let's get into a little, not so much NDA, but upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
With a certain Magical Index number 3 mm-hmm. In the works, are you hoping to reprise your role as Shiage?
Hamazura?
Hamazura.
I am hoping to. That's an interesting one because we don't, at least as far as I know right now, I have no idea if we're going to get to do this third season.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping we do because it was really funny because Hamazura is apparently a very important character to the franchise, mm-hmm. but he doesn't show up until the last episode of season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came and I recorded, I was like, okay, cool. This guy's just in this like one episode. Mm-hmm. And then when it was announced that I was playing this character, people like freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really excited. And I was like, oh, people really like this one episode guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just turned out like, oh no, he's actually really important in the overall story. And he's on like the DVD box of season 2 and everything. I was like, oh man, I had no idea. So I'm excited if we do get to do the third season that I finally get to experience this character that people have been excited about for a long time that I have barely spent any time with. So I'm hoping. Here's hoping. So
very nice. And to just kind of wrap everything up, any final words of advice or encouragement that you can give viewers?
Generally, I just say go for it. When you go into artistic careers, there are a lot of people that are going to tell you this can be hard and that, you know, you might not make it. And maybe you won't, but there's no reason that you can't try for it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have determination. You got to be ready for it, too. But I really think that everybody can make it. So if you guys want to do it, go for it.
Thank you very much for those words. I'm sure everybody's going to appreciate those. Other than that, thank you so much again for this interview and
thanks
this
for
opportunity.
Having me, man.
And I hope you enjoy the rest of Crunchyroll Expo.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Do you-